Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Anne Garvin, author of the new novel, I Thought You Said This Would Work. Anne, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Sure. Well, if someone hasn't heard about your new novel yet, how would you describe I Thought You Said This Would Work?
I always say that my novels are funny and sad, and they're such a funny mix of funny and sad that they're sometimes a little bit hard to describe. Whenever anyone says, you know, when they introduce me, they'll say, Anne Garvin is hilarious. And I think, oh, no, don't say it's hilarious. It's more like when you're reading it, you'll chuckle a little bit and then maybe you'll sniff a little bit. But hilarity and sobbing is not really what will happen when you read one of my novels. So, you know, it's a story, it's a road trip story about three women that, two women that don't really like each other very much and had a falling out from years ago when they were the best of friends. And they didn't pursue sorting that out because the memories were too painful for them. But their best friend has asked them to go across country and rescue her own rescue dog so that she can go through a second bout of cancer treatments. And so she sort of forces those two to go across country and drive across country road trip with a big slobbery hairy dog and a whole lot of problems to sort out. And it's a road trip for all road trips, I think. You know, when road trips can be incredibly annoying, but also a lot of fun, that's what this is.
That's great. Well, do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to write I Thought You Said This Would Work?
I do. I was out to eat with two friends that were really just my friends. I kind of like to cross-pollinate my friends probably in the most annoying way for everyone. But we were at dinner, two of my friends that know each other but only really are good, spend any time together because of me. And we were talking about something, and they're two very strong-minded women. And I thought, it would be sort of hilarious to shove those two in a Prius with a dog and make them go do something together. And in that second, I thought, oh, that would be a great book.
That's great. So what was your writing journey that led you to writing and getting your first novel published?
You know, I don't think it was all that much different from a lot of people. You know, you have to learn the business, you have to learn how to write a novel. But what was a little bit different for me is that So I was a nurse first, and then I got a graduate degree in exercise physiology and then sports psychology. And so I was a professor of science for almost 30 years. And but 10 years before leaving that, I won a short story contest. And I'd always been a reader, and I'd always admired writers to be sort of my superheroes. And I thought I would... You know, I always say that this was like the most arrogant use of a one win at a contest, because after I did that, I entered a couple more contests and I thought, I'm going to write a book. And, you know, writing 2,000 words and doing that well enough to win a small contest and then writing, you know, $90,000 or words for an entire book are two different things. So my journey was, I always think it was like insecurity and arrogance living together in one house trying to write a book.
So what was your writing process when you were working on I Thought You Said This Would Work? Do you plot your novels extensively, or did you just go with this idea of the two women in a Prius with a big dog and kind of go from there?
Yeah, that's a super good question. And I think it goes along with this idea of a writing journey. The first book I wrote, I just had some ideas and then some natural ideas about, because I was a reader, how to write a book. And so at first I just sort of wrote and hoped that my ability to just kind of generally tell a story might carry me through. And that's a very inefficient way to write a book. And so I have since then learned that it works much better for me to write, like I start with an idea, and then I write the back copy of the book, like the literal sort of, we call that a nut graph, or at least I do. I know journalists call that sort of descriptive piece of the book. I do that first. And then I look at a general structure of what makes a book work. Like I look at, you know, the inciting incident and then pinch points and midpoint reversals. And I plot out what I think is going to happen in my book based on just traditional storytelling arcs. Like just like almost like you put them on a, you know, a push pin into a bulletin board, just so I have some kind of marking. And then I, after I have that, I really do a deep dive into the characterization of who they are, what they want, and what they need to do to learn from the story. And with those bits and pieces already in my mind, I then start to write the book. So I'm certainly not a pantser anymore. I'm much more of somebody who is a plotter. But when I say plotting, all I do is kind of put up tent poles, and then I plot based entirely on my character and who they are and what they want.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what are the tall poppy writers that you created?
Well, so the tall poppy writers, so back in 2010, when my first book came out, I had pneumonia and I was going right smack in the middle of a divorce, and this book was coming out, and it was in 2010 before the social media had gotten into this feverish state that it is now. I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any connections in publishing. I didn't know any other authors, and I lived in a pretty small town, and I worked in a field that was not anything related to literature. So I thought, oh my gosh, who's going to buy this book? And in fact, very few people did buy that book, even though it was published by Penguin. You know, they didn't pay very much for it, so there wasn't a large marketing budget for it. And then I thought, you know, I'm not going to be able to have a career in this. And by then I'd already been bitten, and I was thoroughly smitten by the idea of becoming an author. So I thought, well, this is crazy. This is probably what happens to all women authors who have other jobs and children and things like that. Like, we aren't going to be marketing heroes in this regard. What we can do is maybe write a story, but that doesn't always translate. And I thought, this is crazy. So I thought, why don't we do what bands do, which is kind of help each other, you know, with an opening band. And I also thought, remember that commercial? I don't know how old you are, but remember that commercial, I'll tell two friends and you tell two friends and so yes. on, right? So I thought, well, this is, why don't we do that? Why aren't authors doing that? And, you know, for a long time, I think that people really thought of writing as a scarcity ideal, like everybody is competing for the number one New York Times bestseller. But in actuality, you know, that, you know, number one could change every day, it could change every hour, it could change all kinds of ways, and that we aren't just competing for one pinnacle piece of things. We're just looking for readers to read our things, and we hope that our stories resonate. So I thought, with that in mind, I was going to...
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You know, as I went through this journey, I was going to meet all the generous authors and bring them all into a group of where we all help each other. And that's what the Tall Poppies is. It's just a really group, really nice group of women who are supportive. And while they are writing a book and one of us is launching a book, we all sort of get together and market each other's work so that it isn't all on one person.
That's great. Novels that you've written and had published to date, what writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories and novels?
You know, it changes, right? It changes. Every time someone asks me these questions, I think, oh, this is a better answer here, and this is a better answer here. But I think probably the best thing that I would tell people, and I'm not sure if it's the best advice, but I do think that you have to learn the business of writing, because while you are working in an art, which is creating a book and hoping that, you know, it works in the best, most compelling way, you can write the best work in the world and not know how to publish that, or it doesn't at all fit in a way that can be published. So I think I'm not saying that you should write to the market. What I'm saying is you have to understand that book writing is a business. And while you're writing that book, you have to kind of keep an eye out on what's going on, because so for example, I have a couple of friends who they chased the market and wrote a couple of books that fit in the market, and then the whole world changed. And so I think you have to keep your eyes on the art while you keep your eyes on the business, because they can both be kind of difficult to deal with. And I think you really have to learn the business while you're writing the business of writing a book. It doesn't sound that articulate, but I think you know what I mean. Yeah.
So you said that you were a big reader for years and that writers were your superheroes. Were there specific authors that you kept going back to during that time before you wrote that really appealed to you?
Yes. Early on, I started with, not early on, I would guess in my early adulthood when I started reading things that were larger than, you know, the small books that we read when we're growing up. I read a lot of Laurie Moore, and Laurie Moore to me is really the master of sort of funny and sad. I'm not sure she would describe herself that way, but she's got such a wonderful sense of humor, and it's wry and stinging in some places. But whenever I read her work, I thought, wow, she really would hit right on the head of something that made me feel both, you know, sort of laughing and also a little bit tearful. And then I read, and then of course, Nora Ephron, who has written such a wealth of information or such a wealth of writing that is based in both humor and sadness, especially when you think about the stories that she's written about divorce and things like that. And then she moved into writing these fantastic rom-coms that will never sort of leave our memories, like, you know, When Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle and things like that. I read a lot of Elizabeth Berg, because Elizabeth Berg also is that person that does funny and sad. I think sometimes she has been relegated to what they call women's fiction, which is a shame, because she's a wonderful writer with such astute insights. And then I would say probably Olive Kitteridge, Elizabeth Strout. She's kind of a genius in my mind. And so I go back often to their writing. And one of the things that I write, you know, whenever I work on a novel, I've tried really hard to write just funny, and I've tried really hard to write just sad. And I can't really do that. And there aren't a lot of authors that write this sort of mix of funny and sad. So you really have to find your inspiration in people that do it really well, so that you can sort of keep feeling like you're doing an okay thing. And those are the authors that really made me feel like I was doing an okay thing.
Sure. So what novels or nonfiction books have you read recently that you enjoyed?
It's funny because I have the two that are like on a huge sort of spectrum from each other. One of them is called Finley Donovan is Killing It. And that is the most delightful, funny, and ridiculous story about a woman who is in a Panera, and they're just talking about, I don't know, ridiculous things about being a mother, but it sounds like they are going to be serial killers, and someone misunderstands what they're talking about and wants her to kill her husband. And she accidentally embarks on this ridiculous thing where she is finding herself working against the mob, etc. And it sounds like it's just the run-of-the-mill silliness, but it's not. It's so well done and so well plotted and really got a ton of attention. And I think it's now going to be, it was just recently purchased for a series, not also a book series, but also a television series.
Right.
And then on the complete other spectrum, I just read The Women in the Castle by Jessica Shattuck. And I'm not sure when that book was published, but it's a deep, deep story about sort of the spoils of just post-Nazi Germany when through the eyes of three different women who had three different experiences. And I loved it because it pulled no punches and it made it very clear that a lot was going on during that time that people didn't always understand what was going on, and they ended up in places that they did not believe in morally. And that was a pretty wonderful book. So you could see I kind of read all over the place.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, and those two, I just finished both of those books this past week.
That's great. Well, where can people find you online if they want to learn more about you and your novels?
I'm at anngarvin.net. So that's my website. And from my website, you can find me anywhere. I'm on Instagram and Twitter and everywhere. And you can find also the Tall Poppy Writers at tallpoppies.org. I also have a podcast called Come Sit By Me, where I answer all of the questions that I've gotten over the last 30 years related to both writing and health. And those two things are often mixed together because writers and readers spend a lot of time sitting. And it's just 5 minutes of answering questions. I always say it's for people who have questions and know there isn't one right answer, but want one anyway. And that can be found on my website as well.
That's great. Yeah. Well, again, we've been speaking with Anne Garvin, author of the new novel, I Thought You Said This Would Work. The novel is on sale now, so go buy a copy. And Anne, thanks for doing this interview.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I saw all of the authors that you have, and I'm just honored to be included.
Thank you.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.